was. I was not a VIP.
What happened during the 3 miles of walk? Both of you were just keeping quiet or something?
Absolutely quiet.
Absolutely
quiet.
He never opened his mouth.
See, I never knew that we should ask questions.
No.
I had never asked any spiritual question on here with anybody. Nor did he talk. Absolute silence we went. That was there. So, then the same year, in September, I said I had some 6 days leave for the puja holidays, as they call it, Navratri. So I said, let me go to Shivananda, the only place I knew, a safe satsang. So when I was traveling from Haridwar, I had to take a separate bus to Rishikesh. In those days, there were first class and second class. So in between, there was some seat where people were sitting. I didn't know whether it belonged to the first class or the second class. So the person was sitting there, in pant and all that, young man, perhaps 28 years old. He said, come on, this is also second class only. So I went at side by side. His name was Pritim Singh Patania, a young man. So he said, where are you going? I told him. So, you have been going so many times. So why don't you come along with me this time? Where are you going? I am going to a place called Vasishtaka. A beautiful Swamiji is there, who is aged about 80 years or 78 or something. His name is Swami Purushottamananda. I hit the ceiling. 1952, I heard his name in 1956. I am getting the location. I said, sure, I'll come along with you. We went to Rishikesh. We got down. In those days, the buses, coming buses will come for 3 hours going, but it's called the gate system. Going and coming, go, the road is small. Only one way the buses will go at one time. They will stop at one place. Then the buses will come for 3 hours this way. So like that. So we had some 2 hours left. He said, look here. There is no kitchen, nothing is there. So we have to take things. So he purchased some rice. He purchased some vegetable. I just did what all he did. I purchased a big bag. I purchased a big bag. I didn't have a bag for taking all those things. And I couldn't carry them. I had already my bag. He carried my bag, his bag, everything. So we went over there. It was 12:30. There was only one room which was built in 1955. Earlier, from 1928 to 1955, my Gurudev had been sitting inside the cave where he used to sleep, where he used to meditate. That was the only place. In 55, I think some Teri Gadwal Rani or somebody had built a room for him. So he is sitting on that terrace outside his room. The moment I went, there were some brahmacharis and others. We did namaskar. She was looking at me. And laughingly called one brahmachari. Asked this man, how many years back he knew me and when is he coming here? I was foolishly, I thought he's talking with other men. He never knew me at all. So I just was standing with a serious face. Then again he laughed. He pointed his finger at me. Hey, I'm asking you, didn't you know me as early as 1952? I was shocked. No reply. His idea was only to shock. So he called another brahmachari. Hey, take them out, prepare some chapatis and feed them. They'll be hungry like. So all of them had taken meals earlier. They prepared and then they gave me. It was love at first sight. I never knew to which lineage he belonged, whether it was Ramakrishna or other things.
What was your first reaction when you saw Swamiji?
It was a brilliant face. A face which exuded peace. A face which exuded confidence that nothing in the world can affect him. That's all I could see. And his love, expression of love. The expression of love was the one which caught me first. Yeah, unknown person, how can one love to that extent? So that was my real insight, but I have some question left. That's all. I never asked anybody about it. First time, and with what love he is calling me. And 3 days I stayed. First day I told me my name. He never asked me again whether I was a clerk, whether I was an officer, whether I was a peon. Nothing was asked. What I did, what I knew, whether I knew Sanskrit, whether I knew Hindi, nothing was ever asked about me. Nothing was there. And in the mornings he used to come, some satsang will take place, people will come, he will laugh with some, he will ask them how is such and such and all that. I was simply sitting morning and evening there with satsang. I used to have my meals, that's all. And on the third day I had to leave. The next day morning, early morning I was going to leave. So I went to him that previous evening. He was reading Mahabharata. He suddenly gave it to me. Hey, you read. I continued to read. Then after 15 minutes, then I told Swamiji, tomorrow early morning I'm leaving. He said, hey, next month end, or some October and November, he told November. This was in September end or so, or October beginning. Hey, November end, my birthday comes. You will come and do Bhagavad Saptah. He never knew that I knew Sanskrit. He never knew that I knew Sanskrit, I had never told. Of course, at that time I have read. She said, you will do Bhagavad. I thought, it is only reading. I have never read Bhagavad in my lifetime, till then. I have read the entire Valmiki Ramayana original. I have read portions of Mahabharata. I have never gone near Bhagavad because my father used to say, Bhagavate Panditanam Pariksha. This is very tough. If a Pandit has to be tested asking questions in Bhagavad. So I never went near it because I am not a Pandit. And I said, if perhaps want me to read anyway, it's okay. I came away the early morning, I got up, I took my bag and baggage, went up the hill. I was standing there for the bus. I was thinking within myself, I don't know when his birthday is to come. He has not taken my address. So I will never know. It's all right. But just then, a brahmachari came running with a notebook and a pen. Guruji has asked me to take your address. And exactly 15 days before the due date, a letter comes from somebody. Gurudev wants us to remind you that you must come one day earlier on such a date. Because one day earlier is Mahatmya, I should come the previous day and I should bring my book of Bhagavad. I had no book. Then I asked somebody to purchase from Delhi and brought. From Delhi I brought the Bhagavata book and all that. So that is how my life with my guru started. For 1 year I never knew to which lineage he belonged, who was his guru, nothing. I was so satisfied. And one day one of the engineers, a devotee, he gave me a book. Hey, have you read the biography of Gurudev? Oh, is there a biography? I never knew, I never asked anybody whether there are books. I was utterly a dull fellow. See, anybody who goes, he says, is there any book he has written? So many people are now asking. I never even thought of it. I never asked whether there is any biography or life story, nothing at all. I never asked anybody who was his guru. Then when he gave the biography, I said, oh my lord, he is the Shishya of Rakhal Maharaj, who was the mentally adopted son, the Manasika Putra of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. I was elated. I said, I had put some conditions. My guru should be from the lineage. It is now fulfilled. That is why when Shivananda said, I said, no. Even our Krishnaprem Maharaj is very good. I could have asked him. No. But then I was very happy. Rest I saw, there is no money, there is no strong room, there is no box to keep money. Nobody was offering any money, he was not taking any money. I was very happy. But then the question which was ragging me was, does he ever go into meditation? That is one of my classes. Like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he would suddenly go into samadhi while talking and all that. I would like to have such a guru. But it has never happened in all these days. I have never seen him going into meditation. He might have been at night time, I do not know. So, I was just sitting, pondering over that after reading the book. Some fellow comes and says, Guruji calls you up. I went up. She told me, you're sitting outside the terrace. Hey, see that shelf inside that room, that top book, that big book, you bring that. I brought that book. It was Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the biggest of all the Upanishads, perhaps. I have read many of the important Upanishads, but two big Upanishads I have avoided studiously. One was Chandogya, another was Brihadaranyaka. I said, it is too big for me to consume. She asked me, see that page. I took up that page. See the chapter. It is written Antaryami Prakarana. It means the chapter relating to the indweller. That's what it said. It started beautifully. First time I am reading it. Is that reading? First time I am reading it.
It was in Sanskrit.
It is in Sanskrit. The entire Upanishad. No Sanskrit, no other commentary. Yap prithivyam drishtan, yap prithivyam antarah. Yasya prithivi shariram, yap prithivim yamayati, yap prithivi inaveda. The one who is the master of the entire earth, the one who is controlling the entire earth, but whom the earth has never known. The one of whose body your eye forms the part. And the one who is making your eye active, who activates your eye. And the one whom the eye has never seen. The one who activates your ear. The one of whose part is your ear. But the one whom the ear has never heard. Like this the entire thing goes. Beautifully it goes. Only 2 pages. Perhaps 7 minutes. Finished it. I was so glued to it. I just looked at him to see whether I should continue or stop. He was in Samadhi. Then I said, oh, this is called Samadhi state. I was looking at him. Then a doubt came. During Samadhi state, do people breathe? So I went very near to him to see whether any sign of palpitations, the breath coming and going. Just when I heard the footsteps of some of the brahmacharis, you know, they are greater than my master. So I was afraid of them always. So that fellow would say, hey, what are you doing when our Swamiji is meditating? So I immediately ran out. There are 2 entrances into the other one. I ran out.
You ran out.
Ran out. This is what happened. But now I was satisfied that he fulfills. But 56, 57, 58, 59 till September, I never asked him for Mantra Diksha. No Mantra Diksha. I never asked him for Mantra Diksha. Everybody was prodding me. The fellow who brought me, hey, he's old. Get it now. Later on you will regret it. I said, I'm happy to see him. I'm happy to be with him. What will I do with Mantra Diksha?
But you are continuing with your visits.
Continuing every Saturday, Sunday, almost like a pagal.
I say.
See, Saturday, Sunday, 2 holidays we were in central government. No, Friday is working day. So Friday night I will start by the last bus or something in the night, 10 o'clock. 4 o'clock I was in Haridwar. 6 o'clock is the first bus towards the Guha, via Rishikesh. I'll be there by 7:30 in the morning. So the entire Saturday, the entire Sunday, Sunday evening I will start. Night bus, early morning I will be. For some time I was in Meerut, some time I was in Delhi, I'll be in either Delhi or Meerut by the early morning. Like madcap.
What was the state of your mind?
The state of the mind was nothing. It was just like a donkey's. It never appreciated anything. Everybody used to say, see, our Gurudev's eyes, how brilliant the entire light comes out. I used to go and see, it used to look very ordinary to me. Absolutely nothing. No vibrations ever affected me. But
there is continuing with visit.
There is an unknown attraction. That's all. I do not know why. That's all. And luckily, very high philosophy were never discussed. See, people used to come, somebody will sing, somebody will be there. Very rarely there used to be one or two sentences, that's all. There is nothing else at all. But I love to be there from morning to evening. I never used to speak with anybody else. I never asked anybody, who are you? Are you an engineer? Are you a doctor? I was concerned only with him. My eyes were for him. I had never talked neither to the brahmacharis nor to the sannyasins. I knew nobody till my guru left his body, actually. Mm-hmm. Only one person or so I knew. One or two persons. Otherwise, I knew nothing.
In 1968.
1961, he left his body. 1960, January to March, I had taken leave and I was there. This is the last time I spent, because I had already been transferred to Pune far away in 1960 beginning. And 1960 March, when I came there, when I was standing, he said, start Bhagavat. I was starting Bhagavat. And on the third day, I got the telegram. My father had been operated in Nagpur, first tangled hernia. So I should come immediately. So he said, you start immediately and go. He said, your father may not be alive, but you have read Bhagavat? No. He told me, you have read Bhagavat? You know pretty well none of these things matter. So go. He asked me, have you got enough money or will to take something? Somebody has left some money there. I said, no, thank you, Swami, I have got enough with me. I had gone there with a good to go to Badri for the first time. He said, you stay here. So I was staying here for more than a month. I took 4 months leave. This is how it happened at that time. That is there. So, that is 1959, November, on his birthday. Morning, I had finished my Bhagavad, the last portion. Morning chanting, as well as a little of a lecture about it. Then all the Mahatmas had been, hundreds of Mahatmas came. They were all given free food, bhandara. It went on from 12 o'clock up to 4 o'clock. All the villagers, everywhere, everybody will be pouring in. Some thousands of people. Everybody will be fed on the day. Somebody will come. Somebody will do the halwai. Swamiji never made any arrangements. Everything will be made by others. That's all. He never even saw whether the food was being made for all, what type of food is being made, nothing. Everything he decided to draw. He is not concerned. He is like a guest in that place. That's all. So, 1959, on his birthday, I finished my meals at 4 o'clock along with two other brahmacharis. Suddenly, one of the senior monks, Swami Nirvedananda, comes and tells me, come on, Guruji wants you pronto, immediately. I had almost finished till something was left. I got up, washed my hands. I was in pajamas. The pajamas full of soup because I was serving water to all the Mahatmas. I said, so many great Mahatmas have come. I can't bend down and do other things. But at least water I could give. So that was the only service I did. I took a big kettle and I was giving water to all. So it was all full of soup, going into the kitchen, taking the water and all that. And I was sweating, all these things. The moment I went, he was sitting there with some water in the vessel and all these things. He said, come on, sit down, take your posture. I didn't know in those days, the word posture in English meant an asana. Posture. And he was telling, posture, take your posture. I thought, he means I should sit on his lap. How can he bear me? I'm so foolish. So foolish. Even at that time. But some inner sense saved me. Then immediately took, oh, he means asana. So I sat in Padmasana. And only one Swamiji was there, on Bhumananda, a great man. He was standing there. He gave the mantra. Unasked. I had never asked him for a mantra diksha. He gave the mantra. And in 59 November, later on, there is one Jnanananda Giri. He is a Swiss Swamiji since 1940s. He is here. He is a grand disciple of Paramahamsa Yogananda, of the fame of autobiography yogi. He lives in Dehradun still. I had met him in 1979 or so. He told me, do you know the significance of that mantra diksha? He has given you on his own birthday. On the birthday, his entire Chaitanya is manifest. Nobody gives on his birthday. You ask anybody, how many have got their mantra diksha on the birthday of the Guru? You got a rare thing, he thought. I never even thought of it. It was he who told me first time. And that's how things started even then. Because he wanted that I should tell on Bhagavat, I read the Hindi meaning for the first time. I didn't know what is Gyan, what are the things, half I understood, half I didn't understand. What I understood, I spoke to the people in Hindi. Every day, 5 hours of reading, 4 hours of talking in Hindi.
Oh.
On the birthdays.
So,
7 days. 7 days, complete.
It was my only sadhana. That's all. Normally it used to take 8 hours for the other pandits to finish the morning portion reciting. I used to read very fast. Few can ever cope up with me in Sanskrit reading. So I used to finish it within 4 weeks. And that's how things started, then reading. Even then, 3 years I was reading the Bhagavad. I only explained what all I knew. What all I didn't know, skipped. After all, who is going to talk on all the 16,000 shlokas in 7 days? It has to be a summary. A lot of the shlokas, I didn't know the meaning, the full meaning of it. I never bothered. I was at that time in the Union Public Service Commission in Delhi as a finance manager. The finance ministry has kept one officer at the rank of deputy secretary, who is the ultimate authority for finance to audit what all I passed for payment. So he can raise any objection. He can say, you should pay it back to the government. You can't use it. Like that. One day he came to me and asked me, Swamiji, you are a South Indian. I am told that South Indians are fond of Bhagavad. Is there any Panditji here in Delhi who can... I want to read Bhagavad shloka to shloka, all the 16,000. I am prepared to pay him 2,000 rupees per month. 3 days in a week he will come to my house and teach me. I said, I don't know anybody. After 3 months, one day when he came to my room, he found an invitation card on my table from my Vaishtaguha, where my name was written, that such and such will be doing Bhagavad Sapta. He said, you are a cheat. When I asked you, he said, you do not know. What question did you ask? You didn't ask me whether you know Bhagavatam. You said whether you know Nipandiji knowing Bhagavatam. I answered to you. I am not a cheat. Then he said, from tomorrow, you will teach me shloka by shloka during the interval. Interval was 1.5 hours, 1 to 2:30. And every day, for teaching him, I got a beautiful book on Bhagavat. For each kanda, there are 5 volumes, total about 25 to 30 volumes, which contained 9 commentaries, Bahuvyakhya Sahit, in those days, published by Birla. The book is never available afterwards. Even there, all of them were not available, a few. I used to read them all. For teaching him the next day, the previous night, I had to prepare. I cannot say, I do not know. Now, every shloka I had to read. And there were days at night he will call me. He will discuss about what we talked. Some things he will put. So, 1 hour. His wife will say, what sort of madman these people are, night 10 o'clock talking of Bhagavat. And on this side also, the lady also will say, what sort of mad people at 10 o'clock discussing Bhagavat? For 1 hour, 45 minutes we used to discuss. That is how the Lord made me go through the entire Bhagavat in detail. So, see, God prepared me, item by item. And by the time I could finish a portion, a good portion was left. 11th skanda is fully the jnana skanda, containing the entire knowledge. Just in the beginning of it, I retired. I went back to south. That man, that Kedarnath Sharma, his name was, he was left high and dry. But that year in November, I was coming back to Vashtaguha for the birthday of the Gurudev for reading Bhagavat. En route, I stayed in his house for 2 days. He said, look here, I have taken leave for 1.5 months. I am coming with you to Guha. I will attend. On coming back, you will cancel your ticket back. You will stay with me. You will finish the entire balance of Bhagavat. And then, any day you want, I will get you the ticket. The station master is my Samadhi. So I can get it for you. I stayed there for 1.5 months. Morning 6 to 12, 11:30. We will read Bhagavad. That 11th is Skanda. Then 11:30 to 12, half an hour interval, 12 o'clock means 1 hour sleep. 2 o'clock we will again start. 2 to 5, half an hour interval. Then at 6:30 we'll start Ramayana, Tulsidas Ramayana, up to night 9:30. This was the not out of my choice. I was forced. And in about a month and 10 days, it was finished. Then he allowed me to go. That is how I was made to read shloka by shloka. Then afterwards,
some 2-3 years are over.
After all, one time you read, how much would you understand? When I came here, Sandhya told me, Swamiji, this time Bhagavad we are going to read shloka by shloka. You will explain, I will take notes. She read the entire 16,000 shlokas in those 4 months or 5 months. I was explaining daily shloka by shloka. She used to take profuse notes. So it has made stronger still. And this is how.
Why, Swamiji, your guru insisted for Bhagavata?
See, that was his own way. When he was 16 years old or 15 years old, see, he read the entire thing only through tuition when he was ill. He was attacked with rheumatic fever when he was 14 years old. He never continued his school education after the, 10th standard or 9th standard. He didn't even finish the 10th standard. He was very good in his English. He used to talk only in English. But he was given tuition in Sanskrit and all that, very good. So when he became well, he began to read only Bhagavatam somehow. And in that village where he was, in every house they will call him. They will make him read a portion, and then they will give him a meat, and they will send him away. So he was so popular. And then later on also, he was having in every birthday before he went, he used to call a Panditji and ask him to do Bhagavad Saptah. But he was very old. He was 95 years old. He was bent so much. I have seen him. So when he reads, you cannot hear him. And when he talks, you cannot hear him. He will read up to 2 o'clock. Then he will cook his own meals and eat it. He will not take anybody's meals. And then from 4 to 5, he will talk something and nobody will hear. Simply people sitting like this. Only when I went for the first time, I began to give the lectures and all that. First time I knew nothing, only stories. See, other things didn't go into my head at all. I do not know how. Later on, everything came. In 1993, when I came first to Atithi Ashram, he said, Swamiji, do Bhagavad Saptah. I said, I won't be able to read. So for reading, some good fellow is to come. My friend Mr. Nagasundaram was at Bangalore. So I told him, he came with his wife, he stayed there. Early morning, he will continue to do the entire parayana. And I had various types of Bhagavad Saptah. See, in the year 95, 96 or so, 96 or 97 or so, there is an ashram in Lakshman Jula, a little beyond Shivananda Ashram, which is run by one Devi Menon, Devi. And she said, a number of Holland people, they have taken my first book on Bhagavad, they have translated into Dutch language. So, about 60 of them, they wanted, they should hear the entire lecture from me. They all came and stayed there. I went and stayed there. For 7 days, I was doing it. But again, I insisted, the reading is most important. So, somebody has to read. Then she arranged with two brahmacharis. One of them is now the vice president of the